The following is a presentation of the High Spot Podcast. Making their way to the ring, talking about the world of professional wrestling, the team of Jeff Martin and the trendsetter, Brian Perga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
The people have spoken. This is the People's Podcast, talking about the People Show. No, Rock, get out of here. I'm taking full credit for this one. We are the Jersey Wrecking Crew for my tag team partner, Jeff Martin, the Scoundrel. I am the trendsetter, Brian Perga. Back again with another new episode of SmackDown on Friday nights, Jeff. A little different now. We get a little bit more action in the ring, some excitement going on as we're building towards It's a Horror Show at Extreme Rules. You know, Jeff, man. It's been interesting in terms of this episode we're going to dive into, but first and foremost, I must ask, how are you doing? That is great. I am so excited, Jeff. You are doing amazing. No, but honestly, how are you doing?
I'm a little disrespected, and I'll tell you why. And again, nice to be here on the show for the HSP SmackDown review. Man, what an intro that was, Trendsetter. And I wish I was happy as that intro was. I wish I was feeling joyous, but I feel disrespected here by the HSP SmackDown review and the unofficial podcast of the WWE family. And it's something that I was like, just a couple of days I was looking around, and I'm looking at the on Apple Podcasts. You definitely want to make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts to the unofficial WWE podcast,
and also subscribe to the High Spot Podcast as well.
Exactly, we will be back soon, so definitely follow us on Twitter and all our social media at High Spot Podcast. So wait, okay, so hopefully you guys have subscribed and followed us on all our social media. So again, I was happy-go-lucky, excited about doing this show, and then I go and I check out the previews for the show because there's a little bit of description, so it lets you know what we're going to talk about before you either download it, before you hit play, or before you subscribe. So I'm looking at this, Trendsetter, and I'm going to show you this, and I feel like Matt doesn't know me because here, take a look at the description. Who is talking about SmackDown right now?
Craig and Brian.
Craig and Brian. I mean,
who's Greg?
I don't know. I guess Greg has been doing this show the last few weeks here. So I'm filling in for Greg, and so I will be taking it further. So hopefully Matt corrects that, and I don't mean to call it out, but I mean, it's obvious I'm not Greg. And whoever was playing me the last few episodes here, I will find you and I'll hurt you very badly. But other than that, I'm good, Trendsetter. What's going on? Don't call me Greg. Not having it today. The disrespect is ridiculous, Trendsetter.
Oh, Greg. Jeff, sorry. I mean, I know how upset you are.
I knew I left you open with that one.
No, I get it, man. And you
no respect, I tell you. No respect.
Some validity. I'm sure it was an honest mistake. I'm sure Matt will correct that and will bid you countless apologies for the mistake there. But it can happen to anybody. As long as it doesn't happen to me,
I want a letter.
That's all that matters.
A letter? Handwritten, sent by Carrier Pigeon, and I also want a public apology on his main show, The Raw Show. I want him to open up with a mea culpa, and I want him to say, I apologize to Jeff Martin and for calling him Greg. And actually, I want a t-shirt made saying, I am sorry for mistaking you for Greg. You are definitely a Jeff and a scoundrel. So well, once I have that, I'll be fine.
Good luck with that. I'm sure that t-shirt will be on Pro Wrestling Tees before you know it. Definitely. But
maybe you should worry about getting the account unsuspended.
That would help. That would help.
Yes.
But SmackDown, man, different show than we've seen in the past couple weeks, though. From what I could tell, there's a lot of in-ring action as opposed to a lot of backstage segments. I mean, I guess they're kind of milking this in terms of they're still several weeks away before the Horror Show at Extreme Rules. So what did you take the most from? So we'll start with the opening segment, too, of how it started. But all around, what did you think of the show, first and foremost?
Pretty good show. Again, we have all the situation with the COVID pandemic going around. They had to shift some taping schedules around, so it's understood. I mean, we get the whole toast to Jeff Hardy this week. It was supposed to be last week.
Yeah.
Understandable. So, I mean, it's a pretty good show. And, boy, they are on the Matt Riddle bandwagon.
They are.
Man, did he get a lot of time to open up the show.
It's funny how we talked about it several weeks ago, thinking what was going to happen with Matt Riddle. Were they going to eventually post out his match as his debut on SmackDown?
but were they going to continue it amid the allegations that were going under with Matt Riddle? And it seems like they're full force going with him.
Yeah, I mean, as far as I know, it seems like, you know, WWE is taking the stance that, you know, everything's going to get cleared up and, like, all these accusations will get, you know, will be taken care of in due time, and they will trust the process. But as far as they're concerned right now, all, you know, everything's a go with Matt Riddle. And that's good, because Matt Riddle had a tremendous match with AJ Styles a couple weeks ago, and there was so much promise there, and they really, you know, had a good match. And I said, like, it fit like a glove. It was just both of them really brought out the best in each other. And when you know, when you wrestle AJ, that's pretty easy. So, you know, good for Matt Riddle. And I will tell you one thing, though, about Matt Riddle. Interesting story about his feet, right? I did not know this. I don't know if it's true. I don't know if it's storyline. I wish I would have interviewed Matt Riddle back when we were doing High Spot Podcast, interviewing the independent wrestlers, and when Matt was at the time. And I didn't know the story. I don't know if it's, you know, I don't know if it's kayfabe, or I don't know if it's actually a true story with his feet. But we got to learn about Matt Riddle. And there's one thing I didn't like about Matt Riddle, which we'll talk about in the show. But, you know, he gets interviewed by Michael Cole. And then, you know, he has that amazing story about his feet. That's why he doesn't wear shoes. Even when he wears shoes, he can't feel his feet. So, you know, he's had some tough obstacles, trendsetter. Tough obstacles. So, what is your thought? Is that a true story? Is that something like, you know, like, I don't know. What
I'm
is
sorry. Up? I'm sorry. It's just, I've never seen somebody get their feet over more than Matt Riddle did on this story, because we're talking about it. No, but again, that's been a question people always pose in terms of, like, why doesn't he wear shoes? Why doesn't he wear wrestling boots? You know, I don't know if it's true or not. You know, I got to admit, I haven't done the research of why. But I got to admit, that hasn't been a question I've been intrigued in terms of Matt Riddle. I mean, I don't know. Was that the same reason?
Is that a pin on my side over here? Maybe it's just karma from calling out.
It's probably me. But, you know, yeah. I'm sure people also wondered why Kevin Von Erich never wore shoes in the ring, too. And just sometimes, you know, it's the preference of some particular people. I mean, Jimmy Superfly Snuka was the same way as well. Didn't wear.
But Rusev didn't wear shoes, and then he ended up going with the boots.
Yeah, he went with the boots.
And that's Miro
now. He had a foot injury.
Now
it's
Miro. Eventually, they all go to, except, I don't know, if Snuka didn't even.
What he did. He eventually did go to boots, but I don't think he was comfortable wearing that stuff. But
I know, but like I said, Rusev, you said due to injury, now it's Miro. Yeah. Now is his name that he's going by now that he's close to being a free agent. So we'll see where he goes. But
great, we're capping Chris Jericho's Le Champion.
Le Champion.
But pretty interesting in terms of he's telling a bit of a backstory, though. But I think it got kind of lost because he was really looking for crowd reaction. It was there. You heard comments every once in a while where he's talking about his time in Wisconsin and the cold winters where he would go into the pool and go play outside, and people were like, yeah, for Wisconsin. Like, oh, cool. But I don't think, you know, he got his point across, but I don't think the message is clear. This was an opportunity for Matt to really go about and showcase his personality, a bit about himself. I think from a standpoint in terms of getting the job done, I guess, yeah. But it was really a lot lost in translation. But again, at this point right now, with Matt, you know, despite the fact he spent a lot of years on the independent scene, he's still fairly new to this game. So I think eventually down the road, if he keeps giving these opportunities, these smaller opportunities, because again, less is more in terms of when you're not comfortable talking on the microphone. Like, I'm not saying Matt isn't, but at the same time, you kind of want to protect that. Less is more with Matt, and you start slowly building that up. And then lo and behold, what we were expecting this entire time, if you want classic cheap heat, bring on Baron Corbin.
Well, before you bring on Baron Corbin, what I don't like about Matt Riddle, dude, is his facial expression, because it looks like every time you see him and you get a close-up, it's not that. It's that every time it looks like someone ripped it in front of his face and he's just trying to hold it in the whole time. That's what it looks like. You know, he's like, oh, you know, it's just weird, that facial expression. I mean, you ever made that expression yourself?
When I'm sitting next to you, yeah, I'm doing it right now. Yeah. But it's like,
I'll let you know.
I really noticed that about him in terms of his facial expressions. But again,
It looks like somebody ripped it in front of him and he's holding it in.
Yeah, well, everybody has their own kooky quirks, and the mere fact that you've noticed that means it draws attention.
Oh, I know that
so
face.
The next time you see that again, you're going to be more drawn to it, which makes you want to see Matt Riddle even more. So yeah. Mission accomplished there.
Yep. So King Corbin comes out, like you said, Trendsetter, the cheap heat. And, you know, it's all about bowing down to the King, Trendsetter. And the great backstory about this is that we'll get into about this between Matt Riddle and Baron Corbin is that, you know, Baron Corbin has kind of made it known that he thinks that Matt Riddle should have to go to the back of the line and earn it before you get to push like this. I don't think Baron Corbin is a fan of this program that they're going to put him in with Matt Riddle. Now, you're a guy like Baron Corbin. He's paid his dues in NXT. He's come up. He's done everything they asked him to. A lot of people are not fans of him, but he does that great heel gimmick that gets a lot of heat. What can you say? He's just a magnet. He's a lightning rod for people to dislike him, which I think is actually something that is something very, very commendable with him, because there's a lot of heels that like have that coolness. They're like, oh man, he's a bad guy, but I just gotta root for him because he's cool. You know, Baron Corbin exudes just like, you just want to hate him, you know, you just want to dislike him. And he does that well, because in this day and age, we don't have that anymore. We don't have like real bad guys that just want to see him get his you know what kicked. So kudos to him on that. Do you think Baron Corbin, though, right now at the stage of his career, should be dictating who he should be fighting and who he should not?
Well, if you look at it from the standpoint that he's the King of the Ring, he is King Corbin. Yeah, absolutely, he should be dictating what he does and what he doesn't do in the ring in terms of what opponent he faces or what opportunities he might get. So I can understand from the character standpoint in the storyline why he's frustrated with Matt Riddle. But to your point, too, and you're talking about, you know, what he's become a lightning rod, I think, you know, a lot of people have said it best, and I'm not going to quote anybody here, but, you know, it's easier to make people hate you than to like you. But the most difficult thing is once they start hating you is to keep them still hating you, because, like you mentioned before, sometimes you run into a scenario where you're bad, but they like it and they think it's cool. And now to make people continually hate you is definitely a skill that goes, that's underrated in terms of what Baron Corbin's been able to do to have you continually hate his character. Whether he's been talking about, you know, let's say for the last thing he was talking about was The Undertaker and berating him. Oh, how much heat are you going to get talking about and disrespecting The Undertaker?
He did it again this week.
Called him a bag of bones. So who knows? I mean, maybe it's planting the seed, or maybe just giving us the illusion that there's always a possibility he might return. But for the most part, I think Taker's retired. But yeah, it's so underrated. But again, this is the perfect scenario. You know, and I think Baron Corbin has become that dependable guy now. You have somebody new coming in, whether they're a new acquisition or they're coming up from NXT to the main roster. You have that classic guy that, hey, I can put him with this, and I know the crowd's going to be going for the particular individual, in this case, Matt Riddle. And so, you know, and again, I've bashed sometimes Baron Corbin in terms of in-ring skill. It's improved greatly. So I think it's in good hands right now to trying to kind of get Matt Riddle over from what he was in NXT, which he kind of started really high and then kind of went to purgatory in a certain sense. They didn't know what to do with him. Now he has another fresh opportunity, so they kind of want to hit it off with a bang. And there's no safer bet to go with a guy like Baron Corbin, though.
I agree, but again, though, do you think Baron Corbin should be calling the shots on who he wants to wrestle?
Well, like, I just said that. I answered it, yes, because he is King Corbin. He does have the ability. And plus, if not just from a character standpoint, but yeah, he's had the opportunity now to kind of pick and choose now who he wants to work with. But from the company standpoint, they look at him as, listen, he's Mr. Dependable. He's the guy that, you know, whenever there's a new person coming in or we need something for somebody, he can fill in that role momentarily. Isn't great for him because then, you know, maybe he wants to go for a championship.
Well, he just
wants
to be a stepping stone.
Yeah, he becomes that, unfortunately, yeah, because he's just so good at it.
I think that it's all WWE's rush to make a star. I think that they're really going to invest in Matt Riddle. I mean, this could change next week or the week after, but it looks like they're going to be on board with pushing Matt Riddle to at least being a main eventer here and try to get him on the fast start. Does it come to at the expense of Baron Corbin? It's going to have to, because, like I said, Baron Corbin's main job is to, you know, well, I mean, before this pandemic, is to put people in the seats and want them to see you get your butt kicked, right?
Yeah.
So that's his, you know, that's basically the role of a heel. And make the baby face, you know, make them love
them.
Unfortunately,
there aren't people to put in the seats, but, you know, you get the point. You want to.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of the comparison I was trying to do, because, if there is a live crowd, they want to see Baron Corbin get his butt kicked, and that's what they want to do here. So that's kind of like, he's kind of like a It's a kind of against him that he is such a good heel because he's going to have to put over guys like this. So we will see. I mean, it's tough when you see the other guy fast-tracked and you've paid your dues. I know the boys in the back are going to be like, oh, you know, what's up with this guy? You know, this guy's getting all the push now, whatever, which is really something that's happened for the longest time. You know, there's always going to be that someone that gets pushed to the moon, and some of the boys aren't going to like it. So we will see what happens with Matt Riddle down the road. But he gets into a match, not against Baron Corbin, but against John Morrison. This is kind of too trendsetter to me, a kind of dream match, because I don't think these guys have ever wrestled. They might have on the independents again. You know, I'm kind of a novice because I just got into the independent wrestling scene like about a year, 2 years ago, whatever. So mm-hmm. somewhere they might have taken on each other, but to me this was fresh. I've really wanted to see Morrison in a single role here, and he had the Miz alongside him, Corbin too, and it was a good match, man. It went like 30 minutes or so, the whole segment, and man, I just want to see Morrison. I want to see more of Morrison, and this match was really good. Matt Riddle gets the roll-up victory, and you know he gets a huge win in the push of Matt Riddle,
but short-lived though.
Short-lived too, but. Just your thoughts on the match between John Morrison and Matt Riddle, because here's another match where you can really be high on Matt Riddle, because not only with AJ Styles, but with John Morrison, those are two big tests that I think he's passed.
Well, listen, I mentioned before when we were talking about the debut of Matt Riddle, Jeff, that I said, you know, I don't think there's any question that he can go in the ring. He has the tools and has the experience now, whether it be from the independents, but again, when you want to gain that experience, you have to work with individuals that are better than you, people that are high caliber. He proved that with AJ Styles. He proved that again with a guy like John Morrison. If they have fought in the independents, it's like you would never known it. It kind of feels like they did because, again, it's the word I use most commonly all the time, chemistry. There seemed to be good chemistry or just great psychology between the two of really understanding their timing and what they want to do in terms of telling a story in the ring. So, yeah, an amazing match. I felt that it gave a lot of respect to John, because although Matt is still fairly new since he is debuting, it was an opportunity for Matt Riddle to kind of prove himself. Can you go against a seasoned, polished, caliber wrestler like John Morrison? And it proved the fact that it almost went three segments. So it's pretty impressive they were able to go that long and keep the crowd interested, keep myself interested too, because when a match goes that long, you're kind of like, okay, how can you still continually keep it fresh without repeating yourself or getting stale? Or even not slowing it down. They didn't slow it down much. They kept a pretty high, efficient pace throughout the match too. And another impressive win. So again, I think it speaks highly on Matt Riddle. I also think it speaks highly on John Morrison, but unfortunately, I don't think we'll get the opportunity, though it was nice to see him in an individual match. I don't think we'll get many opportunities in the near future, though, because I think they're so driven, WWE, to keep the storyline going with Miz and Morrison, because, again, it works. But ever since John Morrison debuted back on WWE programming, we wanted him in a singles role. Will that happen down the road? We'll see. But all-around great performances by both John Morrison and Matt Riddle. But like I said, again, short-lived because, again, somebody who was kind of bitter about last week was AJ Styles. Came and attacked Matt Riddle. Was beating him up pretty good.
I enjoyed it, Trendsetter, because they're keeping the rivalries, like, intertwined.
Yes.
So, you know, not only do you have the chance of seeing Riddle and Corbin, but that AJ feud still is there. And, you know, keeping it fresh and also reminding
us.
In
their back pocket, basically.
Yeah, reminding us that that's something down the road. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, that being said, Drew Gulak comes out. We have an Intercontinental title match going on. Now, there's no question that Drew Gulak and AJ Styles are great in the ring. But something, Jeff, I couldn't stand. Something that was grinding my gears is this is an Intercontinental title match. When was the last time? I know you're going to say, well, technology has changed. Back in 1992 or 93 or 94 or 98, they didn't have technology back then. We have a Zoom call from Daniel Bryan.
What happened, man? You used to love the guy.
I used to love him too, but there's the ego on this guy, man. He always wants to be set of attention. He can't give Drew Gulak his moment. It should be about him. No, we need Daniel Bryan to say, hey, we've studied strategies. Like, this isn't NFL. This isn't NBA. It's not like you're interviewing the coach on the sidelines as the match is going on.
Wrestling, right?
It is professional wrestling, as much as people want to call it sports entertainment. There is a match going on. And Jeff, you might say, Bryan, you're going a little overboard here, but come on, how many times have we had situations where commentators tell stories, Jeff, and they're not paying attention and giving you information about the match?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know, they're focusing more on talking about Daniel Bryan and the whole situation of Drew Gulak and the training scenarios and the strategies
that
for this match.
They're not focusing.
They're not focusing on the match. Give the match the respect it deserves. And, hey, I respect the guy like Drew Gulak. He's come a long way from, what, 205 Live to where he is now and competing for the Intercontinental Championship with a guy like AJ Styles. Dude, that should be enough to be sitting in your chair and watching the commentators tell a great storyline. But the mere fact that Daniel Bryan's on No. Give me a week off.
No.
I want a week off from Daniel Bryan because, you know what, it takes nothing but takes stuff away from the match. I couldn't take it anymore. Great match. An impressive win by AJ clean. He didn't have to cheat his way. So Daniel Bryan wants to complain and say he's not a fighting champion. What has he done now? He's beaten everybody clean.
Wow.
So I don't know what more
Daniel Bryan,
Daniel Bryan, okay?
Daniel Bryan is triggering you. So they're not doing a good job then of making him a face if you're getting triggered like this by the
No, maybe I am the only one. Maybe
Daniel
I'm the
Bryan.
One because I'm not only am I the trendsetter, Jeff, but I call myself the conscious mind of professional wrestling because things have to make sense to me, and that doesn't make sense.
You're seeing right through Daniel Bryan.
As for a babyface, you see a person on Zoom who's a hypocritical, narcissistic son of a bitch that
he told me not to say the B word. Okay.
Well, that's different. I'm the trendsetter.
Okay.
I can't say that.
You're just a scoundrel.
I'm mean. You can't do that. But again, that's what took away from it. Great match, though. But also, it's proven the fact, Jeff, that through that Zoom call, too, I don't think we're anywhere near close towards the end between Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles.
How about Zoom, though? How about
again.
Zoom? Who would it like? I had no idea what the hell Zoom was before this year.
I didn't until I started having to do things remotely now. Oh. I realized what Zoom is.
Zoom's
actually pretty.
It's better than Skype.
It's better than Skype. It really is.
It really is much easier.
The audio quality is better. It's a lot easier to connect to that. The
video quality is better.
Video quality is better, too. So,
but
I think
Zoom, whoever invested in Zoom, whoever thought of that, kudos, because everyone's using Zoom now.
Exactly.
Like we got meetings like before this and stuff like that. It's all on Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Zoom.
It's the way technology is going right now. Obviously, the next thing will advance itself, but right now, that's the way people are doing. Whether they're doing these things remotely or trying to, you know, do like even the podcast, what the show that was canceled, I forget what it was called, Backstage.
Yeah,
that's how much I paid attention to it. They're doing it through Zoom.
Not even CM Punk could save that show.
Yeah. Oh, you mean Phil Brooks?
Phil Brooks.
Yeah.
All right. So I want to do this one because I mean, just blown away of how beautiful Sasha Banks looked in this segment.
Can we get a couple seconds? 3 seconds, ready? Just to admire and appreciate the woman that is
Now, Alexa
Bliss.
If you guys don't know what we're going to be doing here, we're going to take 3 seconds to appreciate Sasha Banks, but in the way that Luke Gallows and Arn...
Not Sasha Banks, Alexa Bliss.
Oh, well, before, though, I have to give kudos to Sasha Banks because she did look lovely.
Okay, but I'm talking about Alexa.
Okay, so let's talk about Sasha and Bayley here real quick before we give Alexa her due here, right? So, basically, Sasha comes down, Bayley comes down, they're doing their typical cheap heat stuff, and it's working, man. I mean, they've been on Raw, they've been on NXT. Sasha lost to Io Shirai there due to Asuka's interference, and Bayley and her are on SmackDown, so they're really on all the brands right now, really doing a tremendous job on whichever show that they're on. Sasha is Sasha three shows. Bayley calls herself Bayley three brands, and you know, just call a spade a spade. I would call Sasha in this show Sasha Red Pants. Man, she looked really, really good, trendsetter.
Well, clearly she looked good, Jeff, but come on. You cannot compare a Sasha Banks, who's been away finding her smile for so long, coming back. You can't compare that to the smile, the glow, the glittery sense that is Alexa Bliss. But no, I get you. It was great in terms of, like, hey, listen, like, I'll give credit where credit's due, right? I mean, sometimes it might feel like I'm favoring one side or the other, but man, what Bayley and Sasha have done is amazing. And the mere fact that Sasha's been gone for so long, she was gone for so long, came back, and has, you know, doesn't look like she's lost a step in the ring. She's just getting better and better. Bayley has gone off to be the bubbly little girl who's a fan of wrestling to where she is now, where she's really kind of just being herself, annoying, but magnifying that times 10. So great work by both of them, and now they're the tag team champions, building towards what we're going to feel we're just 5 years too late or 3 years too late.
But you know what?
A separation, doing great work.
You know what, though? I think this is going to be a longer term thing than I thought. I think this is going well into Mania, dude.
Yeah, no, it could.
I mean, this to me, like today with the Love Fest and we're in what, July now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm thinking to myself, well, this is not going to be like, if they're smart, like the way this is being built now, because I think in the last few months, I think it's kind of gotten people interested a little bit. But again, I'm not trusting it quite yet because I've been let down before.
But you said it's getting people interested, and that's the thing that weren't doing. Yeah. They weren't interested in it. Now, what happens, Jeff, is that what takes the hit? The individual SmackDown Championship takes the hit.
Yeah.
But in
well,
scenario,
she'll be defending it at Horror Show, though, against
I
Nikki
get
Cross.
It, but the main storylines have always been mm-hmm. built between Sasha and Bayley that are the tag team champions. So for me, from a fan standpoint, in terms of being a fan of tag team wrestling, Jeff, to me it's great. You know why? Because it's bringing attention to something that, you know, being the inaugural champions as they were when they first won the titles, and then as the champions have kind of bounced from team to team, you really didn't focus on the importance of the tag team championships. Mm-hmm. Now they have Bayley, Sasha going from show to show, which, let's be honest, it's a lot easier nowadays just because they're all going to be done in the performance center. They don't have to travel and have the rigorous schedule
kudos
going
to
from
them,
show
though.
To show.
That is great. They are the workhorses.
It gives
the
attention
right
to the tag team titles that you're trying to build, this division that's still so brand new. You're building it. So I think between Sasha and Bayley doing a great job with teams like Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross, who Nikki will be facing Bayley at the Horror Show at Extreme Rules,
and Sasha will be facing Asuka
for Asuka's the Raw Women's Championship.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of leaning towards Sasha right now about winning that the title. I really do. And one more thing before we get to Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross is that was a great stat that Sasha gave, that Bayley was the first Grand Slam champion. You know, that's a nice mm-hmm. Thing to have on your resume. And as I'm looking right now, you know, we know Charlotte is a standard bearer, but I really think, and don't argue with me, whoever's a Becky Lynch fan, I get it. She's great. She had that tremendous run to Mania and she main evented, but let's be honest. Ronda Rousey is the reason why that match main evented. Mm-hmm. I could say right now, I can make the case that Bayley, out of the four horsewomen there, is clearly the number two now as far as ranking them. Right now, if you were to rank the horsewomen, I think Charlotte's clearly number one.
Yeah.
And Bayley right now is number two.
Yeah, and who's to say that if Sasha had stayed longer and hadn't taken that time off, that she wouldn't be right there, right, the same echelon? Because I think early on, when
injuries,
there was
right? Injuries were
injuries, personal issues, and things of that nature. Sasha would have been right there, but you're right. I can't argue with that as much as I would with you because I hate agreeing with you, but you're absolutely right, Jeff. She's a clear number two in terms of not only what she's accomplished in what was mentioned before, she's the first Grand Slam winner, but again, her durability. Now, she's been through injuries as well, but it hasn't kept her off TV for too long. She's been very reliable and very durable right now, and now it's Charlotte out for a lengthy period of time. We don't know when she's come back. People are saying SummerSlam, earliest.
And that's why I think that whole Bayley-Sasha thing could go into WrestleMania, which
yes,
I think
would
be the culmination of it.
Yeah,
it
definitely makes sense.
But, you know, kudos to Bayley, man. She has really, as much as she's annoying, but that's what she has to be. I mean, she has
be yourself.
She has rejuvenated her career and now has become, to me, the clear-cut number two female performer in the company. I love Asuka. You know what she brings here. But as far as, like, being able to, you know, as far as, like, you know, I would guess translate with the fans, I think it's more Bayley right now.
Well, you can't relate to Asuka. Relates. She's done an amazing job
commentating
Asuka. What are you talking about?
Maybe she's my top five commentator right now.
That is gold right there, Jeff. So
I guess. As far as ranking the four horsemen, that's where I want to put it. Now, if you do the top five, Asuka's definitely in there. Mm-hmm. So the lovely Alexa Bliss comes in with Nikki Cross, and it leads to basically a match between Alexa and Bayley.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then
Those slaps from Alexa are vicious, dude.
Yeah, man. And so this is all leading up to, again, Extreme Rules Horror Show, where Nikki Cross will get the shot against Bayley. Here, Bayley gets the win via DQ because Nikki Cross interferes and punches Bayley. And
because who wouldn't want to?
Oh, yeah, exactly, which means she's doing her job. So, I mean, you're getting a lot of involvement here, but again, you wish there were just more tag teams because it just seems it's just like the Iconics, Alexa Bliss, Nikki Cross, and Sasha Banks right now in the tag team division. But we know where this is leading to, you know, and I think it's going to be a much longer title reign for Bayley, as we have both thought that the rivalry between Sasha Banks and Bayley will culminate at WrestleMania.
I always think about Alexa Bliss when you're talking, Jeff.
Ryan Cabrera. You lucky, lucky bum.
On the way down.
Yeah, all the way down. This is true. The Wyatt Swamp fight preview.
Hey, that was, a lot of things go about in terms of, there are a lot of things, Jeff, that build a match, right? Mm-hmm. The story behind it, the ability of both individuals, whoever it is, or teams, conducting promos that kind of draw the audience in. Nobody's more better than that, in my opinion, than Paul Heyman, that could actually sell a broom to you and would make you think it's the best broom in the freaking world because he's just that good, especially when there's matches that you're not looking forward to in terms of the opponent. I think Braun and Bray have done an amazing job in terms of showcasing, sometimes to silly extent, their characters and what's going to be happening at the horror show at Extreme Rules. But I think this vignette kind of summed it up. If you wanted a simplistic, cheat code storyline of what happened here, I think that vignette was amazing. It was awesome. And I can't believe I'm saying this because usually I'm not really into those cinematic type matches. I did like The Undertaker and AJ Styles. I thought that was really well done. But now I'm really looking forward to the cinematic, artistic side of what's going to happen when Bray Wyatt and Braun Strowman face each other. So to me, this has really sold me. Usually I'm already sold to begin with, or the vignette's kind of like, don't do anything for me anymore because I'm uninterested. But this one sold it to me. Well done. Great job by the editing crew.
Yeah, I mean, they always do a good job with the video packages leading up to the matches. So very curious to see how they do with Bray Wyatt.
Was there anything you liked particularly about the video package that drew you out? Like, ooh.
I mean, no.
Story's already written.
It's already written. And okay. I think Bray Wyatt, he'll do his great job. And Braun Strowman.
I liked how they laughed both at the same time, though. I thought that was
that's been the theme from last week where they had both the simultaneous laughing and stuff like that. So really good job by the WWE production team on that. Really
are you looking forward
to it? Yeah. Really looking forward to it.
Oh, you were answering before you even asked.
Yeah. Looking forward to that match.
We're actually on the same page, guys. We actually have chemistry on this.
And we don't have that much more to go to, so this is pretty good, too, because we got the barbecue coming up here on the 4th of July, so we want to get this wrapped up nice and quickly.
Definitely.
Trendsetter Nakamura, Shinsuke Nakamura, one of my favorites, against Kofi Kingston. Kofi Kingston's been a little bit of a losing streak now for the New Day, and now we have future tag team champions in Cesaro and Shinsuke. Could that happen? Could it be? Could WWE now, who's pigeonholed them in a tag team, put the belt on them? I sure hope so, man. And again, as much as I love Nakamura in singles, they've put him in a team with Cesaro, and next week on SmackDown, they go for tag team gold against the New Day. Listen, I love Kofi and Big E. Shinsuke gets the clean win here with a Kinshasa, and then they try to, hurt Kofi even more, but after being both Cesaro and Big E thrown out, Big E comes into the rescue. I just don't know how much more you can go with the New Day. I don't know how much more you can do with them. I know Xavier Woods got the Achilles injury. You can want to see when he comes in there. Maybe he'll freshen it up, but I just don't know how much more you can go with that tag team. Like, you've seen it all, basically, with them. They're still marketable. I get it, so keep them as a tag team. They're, their faces, through and through. But how much more can you go with the New Day? And, can Nakamura and Cesaro get the job done as the tag team champions? Can they get the job done next week?
Okay. A lot of questions there. Can they get it done next week? Answer is no. They won't.
No, they won't?
In terms of, we know what your feelings are towards the New Day, Jeff. We get it. You want them to split up. Okay, we understand it. Sometimes every good band sometimes has to go on their final run, supposedly. But sometimes great bands like the Rolling Stones, right? Mm-hmm. Like AC/DC, like Metallica, they can go on forever and people will not complain. They constantly want to hear the hits, especially like a band like Fozzy. I want them to play forever. That's how much I'm a fan of Fozzy and Chris Jericho. All right, enough kissing his butt there. But from a business standpoint, Jeff, I know I get your gripe. I get your, not your gripe, but your frustration. Like, all right, how much more can we do with the New Day? I'm sure a lot of people said that about DX. I'm sure a lot of people said that about the NWO, especially the NWO ran its course. But I think with the New Day right now, okay, let's say, for example, Jeff, we give it to Shinsuke and Cesaro. What do you do? Have they established themselves that much as a team to look at them and say, wow, the tag team division, and again, I get it, Jeff. Vince McMahon does not like tag teams. I get it. But let's look at it from the point of he did.
Yeah.
Can Shinsuke right now and Cesaro, both very talented individuals, unfortunately and fortunately have been pitted together as a team because creative doesn't know what to do with them individually. amazingly talented team.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not as established as the New Day of holding that tag team division. Now, granted, New Day has won it 8 times already. But I think until you build up that tag team division, I don't think you have any other choice but to keep New Day as the champions. And eventually they'll run out of teams to face, and they're like, well, who's going to beat them? But again, that's the job of creative. That's the job of talent relations, to find teams and put them together so we can build it. So when it finally does happen and they relinquish it, as the classic thing goes in wrestling, right? Hey, we pass the torch on to you guys because we've already done our run. I don't think you have that right now. As much as it'd be nice to see Shinsuke and Cesaro have it, they'll just be placeholders until, you know, New Day wins it again. So I think right now you don't really have a choice. As much as you want to separate them, I think, like I mentioned before, you wait till Xavier Woods comes back, then you can separate them. Then Big E can go on a single run. Then you'll still have the New Day and Kofi and Xavier Woods. But with that being said, it's like it's to me it's impossible. As much as I agree with your standpoint and your mindset, what you're thinking, I don't agree with the fact that it's the right time to do it now, because although they're established, they're over, they sell merchandise, they're funny. I love when Big E rolls down the ring ramp. That's pretty funny to me. It's pretty hilarious. I think right now you can't afford to not have them as tag team champions.
Yeah, I mean, it's valid points that Trent said. I mean, I can't argue with that.
And you lose again.
Any concern that Kofi's taking all these losses?
Not really. Because, again, how many losses? But honestly, how many losses did he take until people – it didn't take very long for people to take him seriously when he could become an individual champion.
He's had
his time. He's become WWE champion. He's had a lengthy, successful title run minus facing Brock Lesnar. So I don't think those losses hurt him. I think what it does in the end, especially when you and I have talked about it countless times, right? When it comes to a guy like an AJ Styles, it comes to a guy like even Daniel Bryan, the hypocrite that he is. It comes to like Cody Rhodes, or it comes to Chris Jericho. It comes to people who are already established, who don't necessarily need titles and don't need wins because it doesn't really benefit them any further. But what the losses do is it benefits the other people. I think in terms of Kofi losing, it's going to hurt him, but it only helps solidify, and you'd think it's ridiculous for me saying this, it helps solidify the relevancy of a Shinsuke Nakamura. Shinsuke Nakamura should be relevant just for the fact that he's Shinsuke Nakamura, but in the WWE bubble, which is the performance center, and everything's in a bubble nowadays due to COVID, but it makes sense because they're trying to bring some validity back after breaking down a guy like Shinsuke Nakamura, who had so much promise coming from NXT, coming to the main roster. They mess it up again, guys, as we all know. And then with Cesaro, you're trying to build some validity that they've been doing for how long has Cesaro been in the WWE? And they're still trying to figure out how to give him some validity and to give him some legs to stand on. I don't get it, but that's in their mind. It doesn't hurt Kofi. It only helps the team of Cesaro and Shinsuke Nakamura, who knows how much longer they'll be. Who knows if Sami Callihan will come back? Sami Zayn. You see what I did there? Because Sami Callihan hates being called Sami Zayn. I'm sure Sami Zayn hates being called Sami Callihan. But, you know, I know that's what's going to happen.
Just call him Sami.
Just call him You're Sami, good. Boy. Yeah. But, I just think right now in terms of those two, it doesn't hurt Kofi. But, you know, I hate to say it, but it helps Shinsuke. But it shouldn't, because he's Shinsuke Nakamura. He's the king of strong style. I can't believe I'm saying that.
Oh, man. And then to wrap it up, we get finally the toast of Jeff Hardy.
You know what? You talk about it. I'm done with the show. Guys, thank you so much for listening. I am the trendsetter. I'm at that. Oh, my God, Jeff.
What a
oh
waste
my God.
Of time,
What
man.
A waste of liquor.
Yeah, I mean, you could tell. I mean, they had a someone from Developmental as the bartender, and you see
Thought that was Max Caster for a second.
Oh, Max Caster. Oh, by the way. Congratulations on...
By the way.
Congratulations on AEW Dark, man. Shout out to Max Caster. I mean, he's doing a great job, and he took on Sean Spears on AEW Dark, and there's just huge things down the road for him, man, and we just want to say congratulations. And
not that he's listening to us, but if he does hear this, yes, congratulations.
He's too busy
Max.
Working on his diss tracks, but...
He's got some great lyrics, man.
He does,
great
man.
Rhymes.
I didn't even know he could do that. I really didn't know he could do
he's
that.
He's a man of many talents.
And he's getting over, and AEW has noticed, so congratulations to our boy Max. But, so you get some guy from Developmental there. I mean, I have an issue with these guys because you can tell that they're plants. Like, back in the day, like, you were, like, wondering if these guys are plants or not. But, like, they're obviously these guys are plants now, right? So it's like, all right, so that's my one issue. And then all of a sudden, you know, Sheamus is antagonizing Jeff Hardy again. He's like, what do you do? You're going to say how much I'm a disappointment? You're going to, keep you know, making fun of me, whatever. And then basically, you know, he takes out his frustrations on the bartender, cracks a bottle on the back of his head, and then
he's a Jack Daniels, I think.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And you know, he didn't mean to attack his partner, you know, Jack Daniels. And mm-hmm. you know, we get typical you know, heat there on the bartender, who's just an innocent bystander, and he swanton bombs him, right?
Yeah, swanton bombs at the end. Yeah.
And then we get the fade to black as we stay tuned for next week on our hands and biting our fingernails to see what happens next in this. I don't know, man. This was just...
Well, it seems to me, Jeff, from storyline...
It's momentum fast.
Yeah, from a storyline that you're interested in and thought was really good, it seems like it's lost a lot of its momentum, and they're barely hanging on in terms of keeping people interested in this. I mean, for a show, Jeff, that started off really well, and I thought, you know, wow, they're really putting a lot of action in the ring for us to be entertained as opposed to these little skits here and there. You know, you had the opportunity, in my opinion, to end it on a high note, and then you ended it on a segment like that. I got nothing against Jeff. I got nothing against Sheamus. I think they're both two talented individuals, but the mere fact that we're going over this again and again. No, Jeff, I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to make you see reality. That's not actually an Irish accent. But, you know, that scenario, like, and then Jeff Hardy, like, you're trying to embarrass me, bring my family. Okay, we've got it. We've established this from the beginning.
We get your failure. We get your disappointment. We get your addict.
Why
do
we continually keep pressing it and keep doing it? Can it just literally be the mere fact that these two just don't like each other? It's gone from that point to the point where it's become the bully tactics of Sheamus.
What gimmick match do you think this becomes? Bottoms up match.
Bottoms up. Drink the other person under the table match. Yeah. I have no idea, Jeff. And at this point right now, you said it's lost momentum. To me, it's completely, you know, gone under the table for me. No pun intended there, because it's like literally that difficult. Now, when they get in the ring, it's going to be good, because they're eventually get back in the ring.
Cut the side stuff out and just
the
get
side
it over
stuff
it.
Is really, in my opinion, you know, unnecessary, because you know you're already invested, because you know they can go in the ring. It doesn't have to get to that extent. But again, that's the WWE trying to establish again the storyline. They sometimes, unfortunately, with the WWE, they try to kind of beat that stuff into you, literally and figuratively, you know, because you know you think you as the audience know it. If you've lived under a rock and you just follow WWE, you're always going to know what's going on, why these two don't like each other, what's the reasoning behind it. But you keep emphasizing it over and over again. It gets stale
video
pretty quickly.
Video package would have sufficed on there, and then that's it. You know? And then,
well, you should have been part of the video editing creative over there at WWE. The show ends like that.
I got nothing to do. I mean, Greg could just take over the show for me instead, and I could go work for WWE creative.
Come on, man. Don't put Greg in a bad spot here. Come on. That's not fair to him. But until we talk to him about it. Okay. But ultimately, what we have to look forward to, Jeff, next week, some pretty interesting scenarios. I mean, next week we're going to deal now with having Bray Wyatt and Braun Strowman in the same ring, mm-hmm. I don't know if they're going to be in the ring, but basically they're going to be there at SmackDown, so you would like to think it's going to end with them both being in the ring at the same time, or maybe some weird quirky, not quirky, but, you know, scary little backstory mm-hmm. in terms of, you know, this. I don't know where I'm going with that, but, you know, it's going to be scary. But, gothic, there you go, some gothic. That's the word I was looking for. See, yeah. when I admit I don't know it, it finally comes
And then the tag team titles are on the line. It's going to be Shinsuke Nakamura and Cesaro against the New Day.
Yeah, and then we're going to have more tag team action, which, hey, I'm all for. Yeah. Sasha Banks, Bayley going one-on-one with Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross. So it's definitely a good action there. You're going to get your wish, a tag team title match for Shinsuke and Cesaro, Jeff.
Although I hope that the outcome is a better fate than what you are creating for Cesaro and Sheamus. But that about wraps it up, guys.
I'm speaking the truths here right now. Their fates have already been set, not by me, by Vince. Yeah. So it's like, what do you want me to do?
Guys, that about wraps it up here on the HSP SmackDown Review. I am Jeff Martin alongside the trendsetter Brian Bergafoss on all our social media at High Spot Podcast. Wait 3 seconds. 1, 2, 3. Gives you guys a chance to subscribe and follow us. And, guys, want to wish you happy 4th of July. I really want to wish you happy 4th of July. I mean, let's be honest. 2020 has been absolute crap. And even though it's not going to be the same kind of 4th of July.
Whoa. You can't say crap on the show.
Well, you said, you know, you kind of took some shots with the B word, so I can say the C word there.
Well, barbecue?
Crap. Barbecue, yeah, exactly. That's what I was going for. At least you guys can at least, you know, be barbecue together, barbecue, And
practice social distancing.
But yeah, but still practice social distancing.
Clean up after yourselves.
Wash your hands.
Wash the dishes.
Yep. Don't put, you know, don't touch your dirty fingers and put them in your eyes and all that stuff.
But you're right, Jeff. It's this day, at this point right now, with all the scenarios that's going on in the world, you know, you take events like this and you want to be around either family or friends, but again, do it responsibly enough. And also the mere fact that it's more than just fireworks. It's about special moments for individuals, you know, celebrating our freedom as a country and all that patriotic stuff.
Man, where is it? Where did it start? Were you set fireworks like 2 days or weeks before 4th of July?
Yeah,
it's because they're available now everywhere.
Exactly.
You go to your supermarket and they're there to be sold.
They are.
Yeah, so like, man, what's up with the fireworks? And so, but again, though, it's going to be a very out of the norms kind of 4th of July, but we want to wish you a happy 4th of July to everyone. It's crazy, crazy times, but it's one of those holidays that you can be together if you can with your families and enjoy the company. And we know that life is short, trendsetter, so enjoy your 4th of July.
And enjoy the Rocky Marathons that are going to be going out there.
Are they really?
It's given. 4th of July are always going to be Rocky Marathons.
Rocky.
There's nobody more patriotic than Rocky Balboa. I mean, he stopped the Cold War, for God's sakes.
Exactly. Rocky IV, very underrated. Great soundtrack. Guys, make sure you listen to the unofficial WWE podcast. Listen to such great shows as The Raw Review, Wrestling Nostalgia, Saturday Night Week in Review with Mary Grader, Ashley Mann, such great people co-hosting that show, and Anthony D'Amaro, The AEW Review, NXT Review with Zach Smith. Wednesday night is going to be day two of Fighter Fest. It's going to be headlined by Chris Jericho and Orange Cassidy, and it's some of the stuff is leaked, and I'm hearing it's a great show, so looking forward to catching AEW. But when you got Le Champion in the ring and Orange Cassidy, it should be entertaining. It should make you guys want to watch it because it does pique your curiosity. How is Jericho going to do a match with a guy with, you know, Orange Cassidy's gimmick? So I'm looking forward to AEW Dynamite Fighter Fest this coming Wednesday, Trendsetter.
Yes, looking forward to that, guys. And looking forward to catching you guys again in next week. Make sure you listen to us on the High Spot Podcast, available on all platforms where podcasts are available. Great podcasts are available. Also, make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on our all social media platforms at High Spot Podcast, all one word. Make sure you give us a like and subscription on our YouTube channel. We greatly appreciate it. As things open up, we'll have more opportunities to put out great content for you guys, not only the show, but going to situations like conventions. Man, conventions are going to be really different nowadays.
That's going to be different, yep.
But it'll be interesting because we'll be sharing it with you guys as well. So, for my tag team partner, Jeff Martin, I am the trendsetter, Brian Berger. Thank you guys so much again for listening to this week's episode of the HSP SmackDown Review. We will catch you guys next week as we slowly build up towards the horror show at Extreme Rules. Thank you so much. And remember, if you don't get it by now, then you never will. But might as well remind you again, since it is kind of a holiday to celebrate, that we do this for one reason and one reason only. We do this for you, the crew. Wash your hands.
Wash your hands.